What's up, everybody? This is the One Uppers Podcast, episode 31, and we're here today with two old guests, should I say. First up is the guy who co-created this podcast, but he hasn't been here in, like, forever, Sarge Killer.
What up, peeps? Long time.
They don't even remember you.
Yep.
And we have a returning guest. Azadeth.
Yep, what's up?
And we'll just get started with what you've been playing, and I'll let Sarge Killer go first.
Yeah, man, I had an issue with my 360 not too long ago. It screwed up, so I bought myself a new one for $50, just the console. But I've been playing Need for Speed Undercover. I must say that game's pretty fucking awesome. And I've also been playing Rainbow Six Vegas 2. That game's pretty good, too. All the games I've been playing lately would be SmackDown vs. Raw 09. I'm not a big fan of wrestling games, but it's a straight game. I enjoyed it. Good storyline. Added features. Things look way realer now. I remember when I used to play the old SmackDown games. But this game is pretty good, man. That's about it right now.
Yeah, I don't really like those type of games. I'm not big of a racer game. I mean, a racer guy or a wrestling guy. And I did play Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and on PS3, and we were playing co-op. I was playing co-op with my cousin, and for some reason, it was just terrible. I don't know what was up, but for some reason, the graphics were just.
I mean, I enjoyed the game. If you play co-op and you play terrorist hunts, like, the best shit you could do, because you're, like, just hunting things down, you know? And they're coming at you, so you got to think about, like, where could they come from? You got to check every corner and everything. So it's a straight game. I enjoyed it.
Now, how tough is a single player?
Oh, man, it's hard. I'm telling you. Like, they got three modes. I think it's easy, normal, and realistic. This shit's pretty hard if you play realistic.
Because I remember playing a lot of other Tom Clancy games, and they were kind of easy at first, but then you just get to that one mission where it's just, like, impossible to get unless you know every move and do everything right.
No, this one's it's exaggerated hard. Like, you can't even go anywhere. I recommend to get this game if you play online, because if you play this single player, it's not worth it as much because it's going to be hard. It's going to take a while to pass it. But if you're playing multiplayer, co-op, dude, I recommend every single part of it. The game's awesome online.
How many hours have you played online? Can you guess?
A day?
How about a month?
A month? Holy shit. I play, like, at least 4 hours daily. Maybe, I wouldn't know, dude, a lot of hours.
I mean, that wouldn't be right math. That'd be a lot, so I'm not even
going to try it. Question to answer.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's about all the games I've played lately.
Do you ever get anything on Xbox Live Arcade?
Oh, yeah. I used to have old games, but since I recovered my profile, I only recovered a couple games. I've been playing Pac-Man. My dad's a big fan of it, so I re-downloaded it. I downloaded it's a Pearl game or something. It's like a little ball. I just Marble Blast. Yeah, that game's awesome. It's like this little marble, and you got to get to the levels, collect diamonds, and, you know, level up and shit. It's pretty good. Street Fighter, but that game's, like, extremely hard. I can't even beat it yet.
Is it just Street Fighter 2 or Street Fighter 2 Remix?
It's the first one, dude. HF or some shit like that.
All right.
Yeah, this game, I'm telling you, it's hard, dude. I can barely get real, you know. They keep comboing me and shit. And probably the last game I re-downloaded was Uno. That thing's addicting when you're playing online, man. I'm telling you, it's a good game. What's about all the games I re-downloaded so far?
All right. I guess I'll just let Azadeth go into what he's been playing, even though he told me he hasn't really been playing much.
Well, I do play a lot. It's just I don't play a whole lot of new stuff. What I'm playing, what I play mostly that's current is I play MMORPGs. The one I'm playing still is City of Villains, and actually that's they just released the new patch. They call it Issue 13. They released basement issues or whatever, and that has a bunch of new stuff. They make it a big deal because they actually also released it on Mac.
So now, oh, really?
Yeah, like anyone cares. But, you know, if you play video games, chances are you don't have a Mac, but people are... Well, they also gave you a whole package with it. You buy the... You download the Mac version and you get these extra costume pieces and that kind of thing. So there are people who are buying it even though they don't have a Mac just so they can get that extra stuff. That's how they...
Yeah, I still remember when Mac games were kind of sold, like, in stores.
Yeah.
I haven't seen, like, a Mac game, like, in forever. And when that happened, it was, like, on clearance and it was, like, a port of the PS1 game, Croc. That's the last one I can remember.
The last I remember is, like, StarCraft in 1994 or something like that.
Oh, man, those games are good, StarCraft and WarCraft.
Yeah, they are great. I mean, if I had a Mac, that's what I would go for. But that's also because there's probably not, you know, I don't understand how you can play a game without a second mouse button. No, I know they got those now, but whatever. Yeah, so there's a whole, they got, like, these... online YouTube commercials that's kind of a parody of the I'm a Mac and I'm the PC commercials, except it's like I'm a hero and I'm a villain.
Okay.
And they're pretty funny if you look them up. Yeah, so a bunch of new stuff. You know, they got to keep it fresh. They aren't very good at keeping it balanced. I don't know how many of these MMOs you play, but whenever they introduce something new, they break like six other things. So after a big patch, there's always like a week or so where they gotta fix everything. But
did they release a expansion pack just like continually?
You know, sometimes they just release it as a patch and they don't charge you for it, but there's like specialty packs that you can buy that really don't give you a whole lot of content in terms of the game. It's a lot of gimmicky stuff, like new costume pieces or emotes and that kind of thing. Basically stuff that doesn't really help your character a lot. So I don't think actually that this particular game has released any actual expansions. I think most of what it is just in the regular patches.
Okay.
And all the rest is just extra stuff you can get if you feel like it, but doesn't really do anything.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah. Well, and running through Silent Hill 2 again, but I do that.
Yeah, I'm not a big Silent Hill guy.
No.
No, neither am I. I'd rather play Resident Evil.
No, I got that too. Resident Evil 4 is definitely on my.
Well, no, Resident Evil 4 is way different. Silent Hill is just like. Silent Hill is more of the older ones, just like slower, combat's even worse, if you can imagine that.
Yes, it is, sir.
And it's a lot creepier, more of that psychological scary than the old jump out of the closet monster scary that Resident Evil is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Resident Evil is, I prefer 100 times Resident Evil than any other game out there, or Silent Hill. For the reason that it's more action, dude. You know, you get to do more crazy shit. You got tyrants, crazy weapons. They killed it when they made 4, dude. That game's raw as hell. Like, you get to walk around and just do whatever you want, you know? Shoot people wherever you want and shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely different from all the other Resident Evils as far. I remember the ones before, and it was real different.
I mean, probably the only games I would play from back then is probably Resident Evil number 2. I think that game had, like, the best storyline ever created for any series.
Oh my god, that is like the saddest thing I've ever heard.
No. I mean, I currently can't wait for Resident Evil 5 to come out, dude. Like, I can't wait for that game. Seriously, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it looks a lot like 4 in the way that you can, you know, it's really action-based. You can run around and stuff.
Hell yeah, man. Especially with that new character and shit, it's going to be raw.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just go into what I've been playing and, I've only been playing two things that I mentioned on the last show, and that's Dragon Ball Z, Budokai Tenkaichi 3. I'm a big Dragon Ball nerd, so I've been going through that. I've just gone through all the story modes except for the What If Saga, which pits like people who haven't really fought each other. Like the first one, and that's the only one I've been able to play so far, is Goku versus Arelie, and she's actually from Toriyama's previous series, Dr. Slump, and she made like a cameo in the original Dragon Ball in the Red Ribbon Saga. So,
what consoles for that?
Wii.
Oh man, dude, you be playing that, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's also
are the controls like easy, or you just gotta move around crazy? Or what you gotta do about it?
Well, they have a Wiimote and nunchuck controls, classic controller controls, and a GameCube controller. So
I see.
I haven't even tried the Wiimote controls yet. I've been lazy about it.
You lose the extra pounds, man.
I just don't trust it.
Me personally, for a fighting game, I definitely just go with the GameCube controller and just, yeah, I don't see the Wiimote as helping a whole lot.
You know, I would use the Wiimote for Resident Evil 4 on game on Wii. Haven't tried it yet.
But it's a very, very solid and actually pretty good fighter, in my opinion. It's definitely a little bit better than the Budokai games on PS2, and it's above and beyond the Ultimate Battle 22 for PS1. For anybody who remembers that piece of crap.
I do. The fighting system wasn't that great.
Oh, it was like minigame fighting little mechanics some games have.
Yeah.
It's more deep and complex than Ultimate Battle 22.
Well, you know, in the end, that's what matters is the fighting system. So, you know, if they've not done this many Dragon Balls, I hope they would have got it right by now.
And the things generate a lot of cash, so you know they try to put a budget in there. And if they go with the fan service, it's win-win. So,
yep.
The other thing I've been playing, I also mentioned this on last time, which y'all weren't there, is Chrono Trigger DS. And as you can tell, I like games with art by Akira Toriyama.
Yep.
But most Japanese RPGs I do not like at all. I mean, I tried Final Fantasy, Breath of Fire, stuff like that, and nothing's ever really grabbed me. But Chrono Trigger DS has. I've been kind of slow about getting through it. I'm only 14 hours into it, and I had the game for about 2.5 weeks now. But
Is that a port of the original SNES game?
Well, it's an enhanced port. It's not really a remake at all. They include the PS1 cutscenes from that port. They clear out the clutter in the combat screen by putting it at the bottom, and it really works well.
It's still like the same storyline and all that stuff.
Yeah, they only added like a new dungeon and stuff like that. So if you're just a person who played and enjoyed Chrono Trigger on a Super Nintendo, your life will not be incomplete if you miss this version.
I'm trying to get it in any version I can. I sure can't find the SNES version anymore.
Yeah, if you try on eBay, the prices are kind of high, too.
Forget that before.
But DS port appears to be pitch perfect from what I hear. I never played the SNES version, so I can't really say. But Andrew Pfister, who wrote the review for 1UP, said it was even better than the Super Nintendo version. But and a lot better than the PS1 version, which actually has like loading times for every battle you ever go in.
Oh, that sucks.
Not good. I'd rather have a really long load time through, like, little, if you go through all the times, than just, like, a short one through every little battle you go through. Because even though Chrono Trigger is not that bad about it, it's still a pain in the ass to imagine.
It definitely adds up. And it depends on, you know, how many fights you get into. I mean, if you just want to go through 5 or 6 fights, then that's not a whole big deal. But if you're, like, farming or something, then, yeah, one big long loading is going to be a hell of a lot less than killing 100 monsters.
Yeah, but I definitely recommend it for practically everybody if you hate Japanese RPGs or if you love it. Because I hate Japanese RPGs, and I love Chrono Trigger. Go figure.
Well, what do you hate about them? Because the thing I don't like about JRPGs, and I've played plenty of them too, is just that they get like way too customizable. You know, like
I don't like that either. Like having a bunch of items I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, or like, oh, you can make your healer shoot fireballs, and like, so what, you know? Set them up a certain way, and then, yeah, it gets just a little too complicated, and then I spend more time, you know, setting up this and that rather than killing things, and it gets...
And they get a little too crazy about trying to make you grind in some JRPGs.
Yeah.
Like, you'll do fine, and then you'll get this one boss, and he'll kill the fuck out of you. So after 20 hours of grinding after that, you finally beat him, and then you repeat the same process a little bit later. But Chrono Trigger's a little bit better about the grinding.
Yeah,
it gives you a lot of XP for every battle than compared to other RPGs. And it's kind of like not too hard, not too easy, so kind of a fair balance, I would say. And the story's actually pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, the other thing, unfortunately, is a lot of these JRPGs have, they can't really think of an original story anymore. They're pretty much the same.
I got an idea. Four preteens go find crystals to face a magic boss that's kind of like a demon.
Yeah.
That's totally original.
There's always like six or eight crystals. It's like the fire crystal and the ice crystal and the whatever crystal. Yeah. A lot of crystals flying around in JRPGs.
Yep. And I guess that's pretty much it for what you're playing. And when we get back, we'll do news, so stick with us. Hello, welcome back, and this is going to be our news segment for episode 31. And Sarge Killer and Azadeth are still here. Our first bit of news is upcoming DS RPG Phantasy Star Zero is coming stateside, and it's coming out in like December of this year, which is odd since it came out December of last year in Japan. I know RPGs usually have a big gap between American and Japanese release dates, definitely due to the translation, but come on, a whole year? What do y'all think?
Well, maybe it has something to do with, it's online, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it had something to, maybe that just made it more complicated. They had to do, you know, more meddling around in there to get that to sync up. That'd be my guess.
Maybe they're trying to build up their servers or try to see how they can get Americans to subscribe to their stupid fee. I'm sure they have one since they do it for every game.
Yeah, well, that's just what I'm guessing. You know, red tape, that kind of thing.
I can't imagine paying to play a DS game online.
Yeah, it the whole online console thing. I mean, for certain games, always seemed kind of weird to me. I mean, like, now that you can do it with the headset and things, I mean, then that's fine. But just, I mean, before that, I mean, like, you had StarCraft on the N64, and then like Phantasy Star Online on the GameCube, and it never really worked out because you just didn't have a keyboard, you know?
Yeah.
And you had to pay extra for that Phantasy Star Online for the GameCube, I think. You had to.
It was like $6 a month.
Yeah, it was something, which is not a little for, you know.
About $80 a year, I think, if I did my math right.
Yeah, well, you know, a regular PC online game is like $14 a month. So,
man, that's expensive.
Yeah, it does add up. But this is, you know, it's a console thing, so I don't know, it's different.
Maybe they don't have a fee. Maybe they actually went sane for once. But I think Sega likes money, because they definitely like to lose it.
Yes. Well said, yeah.
Next up is Harmonix says that they're not going to make a new Rock Band title in 2009. Now, this is kind of a little bit weird, since they usually try to make yearly release dates for all these music games, like Guitar Hero and Rock Band. I'm sure they're going to do, like, Rock Band Beatles Edition or something like that. But, if you're looking for your Rock Band 3, you're not going to get it. Anybody a little upset by it?
Well,
I can't say I'm upset, but I'm not really a big fan of the series. You know, I played it a couple of times. I probably played Guitar Hero. It was all right, guitar, everything, but I'd rather play a real guitar, you know, do my crazy solos.
Azadeth?
Well, the rate at which they're cranking these things out, you know, I got to think that people can hold off for a year on what they got, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I wish they would just wait, like, at least 2 years and just get all that stuff on downloadable content and just, like, expansion packs. I mean, if it's just, like, a bunch of new songs, who gives a shit?
It's getting like Mario Party. It's like 47 of them, and each one.
There hasn't been a Mario Party in a while.
No, but they were cranking them out like one year for like 8 years. So it was and none of them were really all
that different.
Yeah. So yeah, I gotta confess, I'm not really very good at the Rock Band games.
Me either. If it was like three little strings you had to do, maybe I could, but four I really can't. Even though I didn't spend that much time with the game. But I don't really feel like spending like $90 for just one fucking game for that stupid controller.
Is that how much it costs?
If you get the special edition, it's like $150, I think.
Damn.
Paying for that.
That's too much, man.
And even with just like a regular guitar, like Guitar Hero, I know is like $90 or something like that. I'm just like, damn. Why even buy this game? I'd rather just go to GameStop, pick up the used Guitar Hero controller, and see if I can't save them some money that way.
Or better yet,
or
buy a real guitar.
Yeah, I got two real guitars, or you could go to Craigslist and look, find it even cheaper.
But here's some news that will affect, I mean, that Sarge Killer will really like. Capcom details the Resident Evil 5 Collector's Edition. It'll be $20 more than the standard one, so it'll be $80. And it'll include an extra disc. I'm sure there's be like movies and stuff like that on there. A figurine, I think it's of Chris. BSAA patch. I don't even know what that is. Astro pendant and a messenger bag. So if you want extra crap, then you just have to throw down an extra $20.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Resident Evil, but I don't think I could throw $20 just for all that, you know. I mean, you get a patch, you know, wow. Big deal. I can make myself one for like $2.
I'd pay for it.
I mean, the only reason I'd probably pay for it is for the videos and the extra footage and like how they created it. But other than that, you know, I think it's just some BS.
No, if I had the 360, I probably would. But I don't, so I don't have to spend extra money.
Yeah, I just spend my extra money in like a new 2 more Xbox Live months or something. I don't know.
Well, there's one place you'll never be able to throw down an extra $20 for Resident Evil 5, and that's going to be Circuit City, because a lot of people buy their games there. Well, not really, because nobody ever goes there, because they're shutting down their business because they don't know how to run anything, and nobody really likes to shop there, so they're liquidating all their stores in a few months, I think. So.
Dude, I go shopping there. What the hell?
I was today, and I saw some guy standing, you know, near our Circuit City with the sign about liquidation. So that's totally happening, at least where I am.
I mean, it's going to affect all their stores instead of some of them, which they did in November, I think. They shut some of them down, but they couldn't find a buyer or something, so they just had to admit they can't run business anymore, so.
Well, I'm guessing they're going to have a big sale either way, right?
I guess. I mean, they had to get rid of that product somehow.
Man, I can't wait to buy the plasma TVs 50% off.
I'll probably just avoid it because I hate crowds anyway. And I really don't need to spend any more money than I have. I have about, like, 5 games I still need to actually play. Next up, DSi is going to be rumored to release on April 4th of 2009 for the U.S. And like its Japanese edition, it will cost around $180. And anybody looking forward to it?
Ooh, again, pretty steep for me.
Wow, that's way too expensive for me, man.
Well, I'm going to be getting it because my light's about to be worn out, and I kind of want to test out the new that DSWare store, for all those downloadable games. But I'll definitely be getting one because I love the DS and I'll still keep playing it. And I need to retire my light, so I'll definitely be there on day one with my pre-order. But next bit of news, Final Fantasy 13 is not going to be due in the U.S. till 2010. And like I said in What You've Been Playing, I don't give a shit about Final Fantasy. Does anybody else?
Well,
no.
No, not me either, but I tell you, there are a lot of people out there who totally cream their jeans over that series, and they're totally going to be pissed off about this news.
Dude, the first 5 minutes of play of Final Fantasy VII, dude, I was bored. How boring that game is for me.
All right, I guess you're really not going to care about the next one. A Hong Kong game magazine has leaked news that Persona 1 that came out on PS1 is going to be remade for PSP. So I guess PSP owners are going to be looking to something to actually play now. Well, play legally, since a lot of people pirate on there. But I don't really care about Persona at all. Does anybody else?
I haven't played it.
Never even heard of it.
Okay. And our last bit of news is kind of funny, kind of sad. A woman has killed her dog with her Wii remote. She was playing Wii bowling, and the dog is kind of like a puppy, but old enough to be away from its mom. Apparently, while she was trying to swing, the dog jumped up. She hit it in its temple, and it technically died, but she got her neighbor to actually revive it. I don't really know how that worked out, but she says that they don't allow the dog in the room when they're playing the Wii. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. I mean, they have, I don't know, that's retarded to me.
People, you really need to look where you're swinging shit. I mean, remember those people who used to break TVs with the Wii remotes?
Yep, didn't they, like, institute the straps?
Yeah, they made it thicker.
Yeah.
Because apparently they thought American people were actually smarter than they actually are. The first time that ever happened, somebody did it at E3, and they busted a TV.
Jeez.
And then it happened after launch. A lot of people were complaining, oh my god, I busted my TV. Nintendo is stupid. They should have made a better wrist strap. Don't slow your arms. You don't have to make that big of a movement.
You know what I heard about the Wii not too long ago?
What?
I heard about Wii Sports, that some girl got called fat.
That's Wii Fit.
Yeah, there you go, Wii Fit. I heard a girl got called fat, and I started rolling when I heard that. I'm like, wow, that sucks. I mean, some people get offended with stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, because, like, if you don't play the game like enough or something, then your little character there starts getting chunkier and chunkier.
Really?
Yeah. And you play more of the Wii stuff, and they get thinner and thinner.
Wow! Didn't know that.
Yeah. That's I can see how that would be damaging to someone who was fat to begin with.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, you can only make your Mii shorter or taller, not fatter, skinnier.
Yeah.
At least I think so.
Yeah, but that's what I heard. That's what I heard about the Wii Fit thing, or one of them, anyways, is that it does that.
All right. I guess that wraps it up for news. And when we get back, we'll start with the community. Hello and welcome back. Starge Killer and Azadeth are still with me, and we're gonna start it with the community. And this, I mean, about 2 weeks ago, Hearst Corporation, who owns a UGO Entertainment. Well, they decided to buy 1UP from Ziff Davis, so we have new overlords now. And to start their little new reign of terror, they fired half the editors, and the podcasts are kind of in the air about which ones are going to stay. Retronauts has been confirmed to stay around, but the 1UP show is gone for good, or at least for a while. But a lot of the people who are gone are people like Shane Bendenhausen, Andrew Pfister, practically everybody from EGM who are still there, like Milky, Donahoe, Mike Cruz, who was the art director. And that was kind of a given because they don't need art directors for 1UP. At least I don't think that much. But kind of a letdown. I thought they'd just do some more ads and keep 1UP basically the way it was. Didn't think they would fire practically half of everybody. But what do y'all think?
I was surprised when you first told me, because I haven't been on 1UP a while. You logged on, you told me everybody, there was a new owner, so I was like, damn, that sucks. And I even fucked up when I told you that. They did it again, and I was like, oh, shit, I got confused, but it's crazy, dude.
What do you think about it?
Well, I think that, I think it's pretty much always the case that when they do that, when they buy someone, they do some kind of house cleaning, though. But the question is, though, I mean, are they going to hire any replacements, you know, get the numbers back up there, or are they just really trying to keep the numbers down and just really, you know, cutting it down permanently like this?
No, eventually I think they will. I think Ziv Davis just had a tendency to overhire, and I think that's one of the reasons why they had financial troubles. Because, compared to, like, IGN and GameSpot, they don't get as enough traffic as they should, and that definitely ends up in less money to spend around. So I think UGO is smart in financial terms to do this, but I just can't believe some of these guys are gone for good. I'm sure some of them have too much pride to come back. Maybe they'll go to IGN or GameSpot or whatever, but and some other game developers. I know Shane said he was going to Ignition Entertainment. I can't remember what games they make, but he's going there. But they also are killing Electronic Gaming Monthly. So the last issue that anybody will ever get, and everybody's already gotten it, is the Wolverine issue. So that's a really bad spot to end on. And the next issue, which was supposed to be printed and is going to be distributed digitally, is the 20th anniversary of EGM. And that was a cover story about Street Fighter 4, which would be a more proper ending. Anybody really read EGM?
Yeah, I got I think I get it free with my special discount card at GameStop. They include that.
No, that's Game Informer.
Oh, Game Informer, right. Okay, know that.
Totally different magazine, man. I remember it was a Hollywood Video's gaming store, I think it was called Game Crazy. They try to do EGM like Game Informer does for GameStop, and it really never did take off. Kind of sad for that. But I used to read EGM for a long time. I've had every issue since the Twisted Metal Black cover, so I've been reading for quite a bit. And even though the magazine's kind of sucked the past couple of years, it's kind of sad to see them go. What about you, Sarge Killer?
Man, I haven't read those mags for, like, it's been a while. I hardly even read at all, to be honest, man. If I'm not even working on the computer playing Nintendo, I don't really read at all. But last time I read one of those, I was probably in 10th grade. But, you know, it doesn't really affect me that they're not really making any more issues or whatever, or if they're going to delay them anymore. But, yeah, man, it doesn't really affect me much.
Well, it's kind of heartbreaking, at least a little bit, to see them go. I still remember getting into the magazine 3 times through the post office little thing, where they would make a thread on 1UP, ask a question, and try to get the funny little responses on them. The first time I ever did it was the cover for the next-gen consoles had the Boomerang PS3 controller, the Wii remote, and a 360 pad. And they asked the question, what do you think of the new Revolution controller, which was the Wii's code name? But my response was, I don't know how we'll control it or something like that, but we can all agree it looks more comfortable than the PS3's Boomerang. Wasn't really that funny or clever, but it got in there. And,
Just randomly, I like the Wii's old name better for some reason. I don't know.
A lot of people did. because when they revealed the Wii name, a lot of people just went apeshit. But it's a better international name just because it's so easy to pronounce. I can imagine a Japanese person just going Revolution in that broken English kind of thing.
Yeah, Revolution. That's how they would say it.
It's funny because I got used to the name, but you know, Wii's not a bad name either. How about we go play the Wii?
Yeah.
I mean, you eventually get used to it and you don't even think about it anymore, but it's a pretty good name for every little country because Wii's some kind of word somewhere. I mean, Wii's means we and, well, I can't really say in English, but Wii means yes in French and stuff like that, so nobody's really going to have trouble saying it.
Yeah, but you say it twice in English and it sounds like what, you know,
Wee-wee, penis.
I really just couldn't, you know, get over that. Well, what's wrong with calling it something different in other countries anyway?
Well, I don't know. Because a lot of people use that excuse. It's like, why can't they just call it Wii in Japan and Revolution here? Well, maybe, I don't know.
No, I know.
I don't really care.
It's easier marketing-wise to do that, but I mean...
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't quite gotten over it. I mean, I don't really understand. I don't like the way it's spelled either. I'm like...
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was the Y. And they're like, why is it the Y? That was good times. But my next issue was, I think it was the Kingdom Hearts 2 one. And, God, I can't even remember. But I got it in 2 times. Well, no, there is one that was, they asked the question, if life was a really elaborate video game, what was your game called? And I said, People Crossing... less animals, more idiots. And I got in there.
That's good.
And I remember a lot of times I listened to EGM Live, which was the podcast for EGM. I went up for a long time before the 1FM replaced it. But they used to do contests, and I won two. One was just one everybody got because they entered, and it was just some stupid Spider-Man 3 little tiger handheld toy. And the other one was, I got a prize over the hedge for PS2. Kind of like shit that was just lying around they just wanted to send to people. And the Pirates of the Caribbean 2 tote bag, which was kind of famous on the podcast because for various reasons. But, and also I remember getting a lot of my questions answered on EGM Live. And the whole Duck Hunter 007 little hatred. And he's been on the show many times, so... kind of like to bring that up every time he's on there. But it's going to be really, really sad to see him go. And I said that like 500 times since started the question. But I guess we'll start on some threads about it. Gamer at Heart says, will the real Q-Man please stand up? And for those who don't know, Q-Man was the rumored persona for EGM. And on EGM Live and Player One Podcast, they revealed who Q-Man was, and it's really just one editor, and a bunch of people would give him tips, and it would change depending on the years, but sometimes it was Shane, sometimes it was Chris Johnston, sometimes it was somebody, but there's no real Q-Man lying around. Did anybody ever wonder who Q-Man was?
Ringleader, kind of?
What about you, Sarge Killer? Sarge Killer, you there?
Hey, they're gone. You put him to sleep.
And his phone died.
Oh.
Should have read his message. Well, we lost Sarge Killer. No wonder he's not there. I knew something would happen to him. Didn't think he'd make the whole show. But our next thread is, so how many of you here are willing to pay for podcasts? And that was started by W. And he kind of said it just because a lot of people have been suggesting it because a lot of people like 1UP Yours, 1UP FM, and the X podcasts like GFW Radio, EGM Live. And a lot of people are suggesting that since UGO might kill the podcast, maybe they could charge for it to keep them alive. I'm like, are y'all retarded? Podcasts are always free, practically for everybody.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's like the radio. Like when they try, like now they've got, you have to pay to listen to those certain radio frequencies.
I mean, you got equipment costs and bandwidth costs, but that's pretty much minimal. Once you get the recording and the bandwidth set up, it's you don't really have to worry about it for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's really just the guys there. If you're going to pay them or they're going to do it in their spare time. And I think they did it in their spare time for a long time because I remember Pfister saying, like, well, we just do this as an extra for you guys. And they really never get that much money for it. And they tried to do ads for a while. But they did draw a lot of people, new members, for because of the One Up Yours and EGM Live and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be a shame if EGO kills the podcast for good. Because we haven't had a One Up Yours since the old debacle.
Now the moment you start charging for something, though, that puts on like a... That's a totally different take on it, because there's millions of things people will do for fun, but you know, once you enter money into it, it's a big issue. I really just don't know people who would pay to listen to a podcast, no matter what it was. They're just like that, you know.
I mean, it could be easily pirated too. I mean,
UGO
is not gonna slap you down with a civil suit because you downloaded one episode of One Up Yours, so. I mean, that thing could be, like, uploaded on some little media site, and anybody can from NeoGAF will give out the link, and everybody will download it for free. And they definitely don't want a DRM or anything like that. So it's either going to be free or not going to pay for it. And I can't believe people are saying they'll pay, like, $1 or $2 a pop. That's like $52 a year.
Yeah, no one's going to. Or they think they will, but they'll.
They'll do it for the first few times, and then we're like, never mind. Because I like podcasts and all, but sometimes at first you're really, really into it, and you want to listen to every podcast you want. And then you start to get less and less time, and you're just like, I'll listen to these two, and I might listen to the others if I have time, because that's what I've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I'll always listen to Player One. Most of the time I'll listen to One Up Yours, and anything else is kind of up in the air.
Well, I can see why they would want to do it. Obviously, I mean, but the fact is that realistically, in a perfect world, it would work. You know, but just the way the internet is and the way people are, it's just feasible.
I mean, a lot of people don't even pay for music anymore. Who's going to pay for podcasts? It's just a bunch of dudes talking.
Yeah. No rhythm.
And I can understand the podcast kind of like a comedian podcast that's kind of just. It's like a bunch of jokes.
Yeah.
Kind of like a real stand-up act.
Yeah, that's like performance, yeah.
Yeah, and they called it a podcast, and they charged for that. That's understandable. But just a bunch of guys talking around about their opinions. I mean, we do this show for absolutely free. I mean, I don't pay any bandwidth things. I mean, I use phones, and I already paid for that, and I use a phone, so that's... I didn't really pay to use the phone for a podcast. And, my podcast host doesn't charge me anything unless, like, I want more bandwidth and I don't need it. It's not too many people download this thing.
Well, here's another thing, too. I mean, just talking about you, you know, once you bring money into it, then you're going to start feeling like, I better make this good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to have that kind of pressure to, you know, it won't be fun for you anymore. You'll feel like you have a responsibility to people, and you'll get chewed out, you know, if you don't.
There's a lot of times on, like, a podcast, even if you really like it, there'll be, like, one episode which just doesn't really get you, and then if you stop listening to it for, like, an hour, I mean, like, halfway into it, and you just, like, I don't want to listen to this anymore, you just kind of wasted, like, 50 cents right there.
Yeah. Yeah, just money just makes everything more complicated, that's all, for everybody.
And there'll be fewer and fewer listeners to the show, too. And I'm sure One Up Yours has gotten to, like, at least 10,000 a week, I guess.
Oh,
you know, really? If they charge money, they'd probably go down to, like, the hundreds or maybe even under that.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a big kick in the shins there.
It's more of a community thing, and if you're going to charge your fans to listen to your shit, not a good idea. But, our next idea is from Paul Jeremiah, and he's been on a show before. But he said, just a thought, EGM, could it have gone digital? And and it kind of did go digital for a long time. They had a service called started with a Z. I can't remember what it was called, but you could just—it was just a bunch of scans that were very high quality, and you could get your issue faster to your instead of it being mailed to you, and you had to pay extra for that, but
what, like a PDF or something?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, you could do either or. It just matter on your preference. I mean, that was fine. But just for a digital magazine, no way. You got one up. I mean, it looks a little bit different, but it's the same content right there.
Right, right. The content is what matters. So people can find it somewhere else, they will just as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of nice to get a magazine, you know. I mean, even a digital one. It's just, you know, the format of a magazine is different, and you know, it's laid out different. And if that's the sort of thing you prefer, then I guess you might look into that. But I think most people are just used to the internet format now, and it's either, you know, they're not inconvenienced.
Well, it's just like the news is. A lot of people got it for like. Be up in the know with the video game news, and now that you got the internet, magazines are at least a month slow on the news.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I mean, a lot of people found out about E3 like in like June, I think, but now they find it the minute it happens, really.
So, yeah, in my opinion, I think that you know, that kind of going digital in betweenness wouldn't really last, you know. It seems like a kind of in between that's not really necessary.
Besides, it would cost way more money than do just a normal one-up editorial.
Oh, does it?
I guess it would, because you got all that art and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah, an actual.
You got to design it. I mean, one-up's pretty much built on the standard format anyway, so they don't really have to think about it anymore. It's just like a post blog, I guess. But it really wraps it up with the community, except for we had a contest last week. And funny thing is, I randomly selected all the people who commented on the podcast because that's how you're supposed to win it.
Okay.
And the first guy I contacted, I was like, congrats, you won the contest. Give me your week code and I'll give you the Mega Man 9. And he was like, oh, first time I ever win anything and I don't have a Wii, so he couldn't win. And I tried to contact another. All right, there was another guy who won, but he gave me his friend code in the comment, so I registered it on my Wii. Went to the Wii Shop channel, and Nintendo says, "Sorry, I can't give it to him because for some reason he either has the game, he has some account problems with his Wii and the internet. I mean, the Wii Shop channel, or he's from another country." And he said, and he's listed as British Columbia, and his name's His username is Styko, in case he's listening, because I sent him a message, and he hasn't responded back. So if you enter the contest, you still got a shot. It's a slim shot, but if people don't want the games, I guess you'll get it. Ain't that sad? We try to give away something, and we can't.
I totally want to play Mega Man 9. Get it somehow.
Yeah.
I don't have a Wii either, but I got to Yeah, I mean, well, how can you be held responsible if you're offering something and they can't get it?
Yeah. Somebody has to win it. That's kind of like the law, even though nobody's going to sue me over a podcast. But this is just out of my good nature. And that wraps it up for episode 31. Thank you, Sarge Killer. I know you can't hear this, but wherever you are out there somewhere, we thank you for coming on. And Azadeth, we thank you.
Yeah.
And the show, you can listen to the show on iTunes as well. All you have to do is go to the iTunes Music Store and search One Uppers. And it'll probably take you right there. And if you ever want to come on the show, just give me a message and I'll try to get you set up. All you need is a phone and a way to contact me. And we're not really picky about who we get. So if you think you suck, don't worry about it. We'll give you at least one try before we ignore you to death. But that wraps it up for episode 31. Now, I bet you can tell my voice is sore, so. And that wraps it up, and we are ghosts. Benny, I have to go to the bathroom and go now.
Good.
What about you, Carl Stiller?
What happened?
You need to go to the bathroom while we take a break?
Not really. I'm just looking at the wall.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
What's on the wall?
It's a blue wall.
Wow. Gotta get me one of those.
Kind of poetry right there.